Hey everyone, welcome to The Progressive Vibe. I'm your host, Dodrick. Today's date is April 10th, 2022. This is Season 6, Episode 9. And the title of this episode is called Perhaps the Most Diverse Midterms in U.S. History? So on today's show, guys, we will get into why the 2022 midterms will be one of the most diverse elections in history and how the increasingly diverse electorate will impact the future of American politics. To help break that down, we will get into an article produced by the Denver Channel News that reads, why the 2022 midterms will be one of the most diverse elections in history. Should be a good show today, guys. But before we get into that, a couple things, as you already know, thank you to the listeners of the show for liking, sharing, donating to the Progressive Vibe podcast. You are the Progressive Vibe. You make the podcast. If it wasn't for your contributions, there would be no show. So, as always, I'd like to thank the listeners of the show for making it happen. Also, show plug, The Progressive Vibe is on all platforms you can get and listen to your podcast. So if you have Apple Podcasts, we are on there. If you have Google Podcasts, we are on there. Good Pod, Spotify, so on. So if you have a friend that likes to hear or likes to listen to podcasts, particularly political podcasts, or a family member, tell them to check out The Progressive Vibe and they can become a member of the show. The more support we get, the bigger we grow, the bigger our message spreads, and so forth. So I wanted to appreciate you guys for also connecting to other people who may not have listened to the podcast that are doing that now. So all appreciation goes to you guys. Also, The Progressive Vibe does have a website. It is theprogressivevibe.com. There you can check out our latest episodes, our past episodes. You can know more about the host of the show. You can subscribe to the show. And also, you can put in your email, so whenever we do decide to post and upload a new episode, it'll go straight to your inbox. So when you get time, check out theprogressivevibe.com. Also, more news, The Progressive Vibe has a link tree. If you want to get this link tree, you can follow me on Twitter, Dodie_Vibe. That's DODI_VIBE. And at the top of my page, there is a link tree button, and it will direct you to everything to do with the Progressive Vibe podcast. That's the fan page, that's the Twitter handle, that is the website. If you would like to contribute to the show, we do have a Cash App tag that you can click on. So all of that is under the link tree button, and you can find that again on my Twitter page. Last but not least, before we get into today's show, this show is sponsored by Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. If I have any listeners that would be interested in making their own podcast, or just simply just listen to and checking it out different podcasts, you can do all of this on anchor.fm.com to learn more, to get started on that. And on that note, guys, I will see you in the main show. Stay tuned after these messages. Welcome to the main show. So this Denver Channel News article that I wanted to share with you all, it is a local news article out of Denver, Colorado. However, I do think it sheds light on what's playing out abroad here in the U.S. as it pertains to diversity with our electoral process here. and how the younger generation will be playing a key part in the electoral process, potentially here on out. So I think this article is sweet, simple, to the point, but it does shed light on the bigger picture here. I will post this article alongside of the podcast so you guys can check it out if you like. Again, this is from the DenverChannelNews.com. And by the way, it is a broadcast from ABC News. So it goes on here to say, if there is one thing nearly every midterm election has told us, it is that our country thirsts for change. In the 19 elections since World War II, the president's party has lost seats in the House of Representatives in 17 of them. This year, the same outcome is anticipated as polls show Republicans gaining control of the lower chamber. But the electorate that is expected to get them there is vastly different than that of years past. This is a quote from Joelle Martinez. She is a former political strategist under the President Barack Obama administration and the current president of the Latino Leadership Institute. She goes on to say, quote, you know, in 2012, we were talking about equity and environmental justice matters. But I think the sense of urgency and the intensity of the issues facing today's generation of voters is much different, end quote. So I wanted to kind of shed light or elaborate more on what Ms. Martinez says, because she's saying that 2012 showed that the younger generation was very, very outspoken about the lack of equity here in the United States, as well as the lack of attention that politicians failed to address when it came to environmental justice. And as we've progressed to 2022, that matter is more urgent towards the younger generation. But why? Well, I think the younger generation call for equity and environmental justice is much larger than ever before, is because that they're involved more than ever before. And that is a good thing. The quality of being fair and impartial, that is a mindset of what the young generation has, more so than the previous generations. And once again, we need more young people involved in the voting process. We need more young people actually paying attention to the situations around them involving our government, politics, politicians, etc. Because the younger generation is the most progressive voting bloc here in the United States, just period. 20, 30, 40 are the most progressive voters here in the United States. And when we have more diversity, when we have more people being engaged in our democratic process, there could be positive change. And it does my heart justice that the forefront of what's on people's mind, particularly the younger voters, are environmental justice, and equity. You know, once again, the quality of being fair and impartial, that leads to equity, which means every individual or group, that leads to equity, leads to equality, And that means, you know, every individual or group of people given the same resources and opportunities as their counterpart leads to equal outcome. And I think that the generation, the younger generation, gets it. They understand it. They don't allow racism. They don't allow class, how much you make, define who you are as a person. They just want the best for everyone. And that's such a good thing to see. That's such a wholesome thing to witness. And, you know, potentially is going to play out here in the midterms. Now, as it relates to the anticipation of the Republicans gaining control of the lower chamber, the House, and potentially the Senate, I believe that the Republicans have a better chance of winning the Senate in November than the House, because it is virtually tied in the Senate. The Democrats technically are over the Senate because the Vice President Kamala Harris is a Democrat and she resides over the Senate. But if you're asking me, the way that the Democrats have been performing these last couple of years, specifically the Biden administration, it wouldn't shock me one bit if the Republicans take back the House and the Senate. But maybe not, you know, only time will tell. But I do think, you know, as I read in the article, it said that the outcome that is anticipated by the polls for Republicans gaining lower control, how the electorate plays out is vastly different from the years past. And I believe that comes by the independence of the younger voting bloc. I think that the younger voters are more independent minded. They don't claim loyalty to one specific party. And I think that does do democracy justice, because you have to be able to hold both parties accountable. Okay, this is not a game. And the politicians that are in office, you know, a lot of them do think it's a game, because at the end of the day, it's not affecting them like it will affect their constituents, the people who are, you know, the grassroots people here in the United States, the people who have to work the 9-to-5 jobs, the people who are the ordinary Americans that, you know, rely on the system that is in place to be able to provide for them, their family, their loved ones, and so forth. And if it's not doing that, then you should not be supportive of that party, regardless of if it's a Democrat or Republican. So I am super happy that the poll numbers do show that more young voters are independent voters. That's just a good thing. I think that's a good thing for democracy and its entirety. When we come back, we have some intriguing past midterm election numbers by a certain demographic that I feel like will catch your eye. But before we do that, a quick word from our sponsors. Here's the numbers. During the 2018 midterms, Latinos set a voting record when 11.7 million cast their vote. At that time, it was thought to be an outlier. But in this year's midterms, 11.6 million are expected to vote. This is according to the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials. This is a 71.4% increase from the number of Latinos that voted in 2014. This statement was said by Ms. Martinez. Again, she is the current president of the Latino Leadership Institute. She said, quote, "I think the thing that has changed the most is that Democrat and Republican parties are no longer magnets for Latino voters. And we saw that in two parts of evidence. One, this last election cycle, where you saw voters, Latino voters, voting conservatively in areas where they hadn't predicted that to happen. And two, young Latino voters are registering to be independent more times than not." It goes on to say, this is a quote from Lona Atkinson. She is the director of the Leroy Collins Institute, a nonpartisan public policy center at Florida State University. She says, "We're sort of in a realignment period right now." She goes on to say, "The change our electorate is undergoing right now goes against many assumptions politicians have based their strategies on for decades, that young people will consistently turn out to vote and that minorities are by and large monolithic." So let's pause there, guys. Let's put a pin in that. So I think now these are staggering, awesome numbers from the Latino community and their involvement in the electoral process. You know, they are a people who live here in the U.S. If you're registered to vote, you know, you're a U.S. citizen here, regardless of what your ethnicity is. And it's a good thing to see. But I think that this speaks abroad, not just to the Latino community, but for the Asian American community, the African American community, and the white community. When you have a number of voices, we're all considered to be Americans here. We live here in the United States. We pay taxes. We're U.S. citizens. If you were born here, you are a U.S. citizen. If you have moved from another country and got your U.S. citizen, your U.S. Citizen credentials, you are a U.S. citizen, regardless of how you look, what your religion is, what race you are. And so I think that these numbers are telling. I think that is a good thing when you have more voices to speak on the American dream, if you will, about the things that affect people here in the United States. You know, things that affect white people, or things that affect black people or people of color, might not affect white people. Vice versa. That's why we should be aware of our surroundings. That's why we should be, we should have empathy towards people who are just trying to live their American dream, that just want a, you know, a chance at economic stability, you know, things like that, you know, healthcare, you know, being able to make sure that their health is okay, along with, you know, their family and loved ones, you know. And I think that we're approaching that regardless of what color creed you are here in the United States. And again, it is a good thing to see. And these numbers, as I said, they speak to the Latino community, but I do think that they have a impact abroad with just younger voters in general. it goes on to say, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Another thing, when it comes to the monolithic view that it says that politicians have based their strategies for decades, that young people will consistently turn out, where have you been? Politicians, wake up. You have not done anything to make the younger generation want to get out. Now, the younger generation are taking upon themselves to get out because they want to force change, positive change. But don't give them this thing of doing things within our government to make people, specifically younger people, want to get involved in the electoral process. That's just not how it's been historically. And as for the monolithic view for minorities, I think it's pretty disingenuous. A monolithic view is you referring to an organization or system as monolithic. You are critical of the, or you are critical of it because it is very large and very slow to change and does not seem to have different parts with different characters. And honestly, it sounds very authoritarian, doesn't it? But once again, to the politicians, wake up. Minorities are called minorities for a reason. And even though it is a very large block of minorities here in the U.S., that doesn't mean that they're very slow to change. That doesn't mean that they don't seem to have different parts with different characters. No, that sounds like politicians. Politicians seem like they cannot adapt to change fast enough, regardless of if it benefits their constituents. Because time and time again, what do? We follow the money and we see that politicians will get on TV and say the right things. But when it comes to vote on that legislation, they don't do it because they are compromised with their donors. The things that the younger generation want, quite frankly, the majority of people want here. We discussed so many times different types of policies that the majority of people want. And time again, it is excuse and excuse and excuses we hear from politicians. And you got the audacity to say that minorities are monolithic? Get out of here with that BS. The last little bit here, this is another quote from Atkinson. She says, quote, maybe the things that we relied on previously about how groups were going to vote is less reliable. I think the culture war is just raging, and I think that's a piece of that, and that other piece of that is the economy. Yes. The reason that younger voters are shying away, if you will, from voting Democrat, because the Democrats right now are the party that is in charge, is because of economic woes. And I think the Republican Party plays a part in that also. They're also the corporate, but they also are the corporate, meaning the Republicans, as it pertains to culture war. When you turn on Fox News, all you hear, and the reason I point out Fox News is because Fox News is the most watched news media platform in the country. It tops CNN, it tops MSNBC, it tops every other mainstream media news. And when you turn them on, they constantly talk about culture war, constantly. No policy, just culture war. And the Democrats, they feed into it and they let the Republicans win the narrative by feeding into it. Instead of listening to the majority of Americans, since you are the party in charge, and do what the American people want policy-wise. And they don't do it. And they want to know why they number the their numbers suck. And they want to know why the Republicans have a really good shot at gaining the House and the Senate in the midterms. It's because you're not addressing the people's woes. The things that are in the forefront of people's minds, higher pay wages, universal health care, canceling student loan debt, fighting for more aggressive policies that addresses climate change. This would set yourself apart, but now you have the younger voting bloc breaking off more so into independent camps, which at the end of the day, could you really blame them? And here's the last little section of this, guys. The Brookings Institution Metropolitan Policy Program projects that 17 million young people will turn 18 between the 2020 and 2024 elections, and that 49% of them will be kids of color, only adding to the increasingly diverse electorate that is the future of American politics. So all in all, that is good. I mean, obviously the demographics are constantly changing. But when it comes to our politicians, and I'm going to end it by saying this, voter independence is important. And I'm speaking to every voter out there that is engaged with our electoral process. If you're a voter here in the U.S., voter independence is very, very important, guys. It is very, very important. Do not allow a party to steer you in a certain direction because of the party loyalty. Make them fight for you. Make them be aware of your problems. Make them be aware of the situation at hand and hold them accountable. And if that means you're a Republican that listens to this podcast, that means if you're a Democrat who listens to this podcast, do not let one party dictate what you do with your vote. Understand that your vote is a very, very serious thing, and people can take their votes for granted. Hell, it's a lot of people who don't even vote because they don't even think that it's going to necessarily change anything here. Which, could you really doubt that? Could you really doubt where they're coming from? Vote when we have a system in place that does not help the American people, can you really doubt people, particularly younger people, not getting involved? Because at the end of the day, it's always about power and money. But I think I'm hopeful, because I think that the upcoming generation, the younger generation, will be more aggressive, be more progressive, and hold politicians' feet to the fire, and actually start electing people, regardless of what race or creed. Start electing people who are actually going to fight for the American people and have their best interests. And none of this stuff is going to happen, quite frankly, honestly, until we take money out of politics. But when we come back, guys, we will have the social media break of the show. I got kind of carried away with my rant there. I do apologize. But when we come back, we will have the social media break of the show. Stay tuned, and we will be right back. Hey, guys. Welcome to the social media break of the show. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can do this at Dottie_vibe. That's D-O-D-I, V as in Victor, I-B. And don't worry, I do follow back. On that note, let's get into some of these tweets. So the first one here is by Jackson White from TYT. He says, I don't give a F-U-C-K about Hunter Biden's laptop. And yeah, like, who cares? If you guys don't know who Hunter Biden is, I'm sure you guys do. He is Joe Biden, the president of the United States, son. And it's been this like controversy around his laptop that it has some type of compromising information on the president, which has already been debunked as a lie. But this just goes to show you where we put our energy, what we pay attention to, what mainstream media pays attention to, specifically Fox News. It's just always deflection. It always takes the American people's mind off of what's actually going on, that things that are actually affecting their everyday lives. And, you know, it just sucks that we can't talk about policy. We can't ever talk about things that will have a positive impact structurally on the American people's lives. We always continue to get caught up in this political theater, this political eye candy, and that's a good way to transition into saying, check out one of my previous episodes, Political Eye Candy. It kind of sheds a light onto political theater within politicians. But yeah, who cares? Who cares? You know, it's honestly, it's played out. Like, people don't care. It does not have anything to do with Joe Biden, the president. But yet, you know, the Democrats feed into it. And the reason that it seems like they feed into it is because they never seem to actually pass legislation that would be beneficial towards the American people. If you want people to stop paying attention to BS, then start passing things in Congress that will obviously get their mind off of that, to have them pay less attention to that. But when you are not doing anything in Congress, people often get sidetracked. Let's go on to the next one. Let's see. J.R. Jackson from TYT says on Twitter, congratulations to Ketanji Brown Jackson for making history. Quick quick speed run through about what he's saying here. If you guys didn't know, Ketanji Brown Jackson is President Joe Biden's Supreme Court pick. She got confirmed, and that makes her the first Black woman to ever sit on the Supreme Court, which is a huge deal. That's a huge deal. It's a huge deal when it comes to our history. But nonetheless, cases that she has been involved in, she is a pro-people judge, in my opinion. So that speaks volumes in my estimation. So once again, congratulations to Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson on that that confirmation. Let's see, last one here. This is from Bernie Sanders. He says, if you pay $75 a month for a AT&T cell phone plan, you pay more to AT&T than it paid in taxes last year. A company that made $30 billion in profits in 2021 while receiving a $1.2 billion tax refund from the IRS. Crazy. That's going to wrap up the social media break of the show. Hope you guys enjoy what you heard. When we come back, we will close out the show. Stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back. That's going to wrap up today's episode, season 6, episode 9, perhaps the most diverse midterms in U.S. history. I hope everyone enjoyed today's content. We will be back next Sunday with a new episode. I hope the episode was somewhat informative. It was a pretty short article, but it packed a punch. Again, I will link this. I will link the article alongside the upload of the podcast so you guys can check it out yourself. Always, guys, thank you for the support, the donations, the like, the sharing, getting the word out. As I said before, the more we get the word out, the more people we have behind the Progressive Vibe podcast, the more the word travels, the more the news travels, the bigger the show gets. And it is increasingly growing, and I couldn't be more thrilled, and I couldn't be more humble and appreciative of the support from the TP Vibe listeners. So in that point, I will leave you with, stay positive, stay progressive. I hope everyone has a great rest of your weekend, a great week, and we will catch you in the next one. Peace and love.